Have you seen Chuck Norris lately? He's still kicking butt and staying active well into his 80s. What's even more shocking is he looks more jacked than ever and seems to have more energy than guys half his age. And it's all thanks to Morning Kick, a revolutionary new daily drink from Roundhouse Provisions that combines ultra-potent greens like spirulina and kale with probiotics, prebiotics, collagen, and even ashwagandha. Just mix with water, stir, and enjoy. Unlike other green drinks out there, this one tastes exactly like strawberry lemonade and has hundreds of five-star reviews. Go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 for up to 44% off your regular priced order. Plus, every purchase is backed by a 90-day money-back guarantee. So if you want to experience smoother digestion, a boost of energy, and just an overall healthier body, then go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 today. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Results can vary.
You've all heard us talk ad nauseum about how much we love thebeardstruggle.com and to use our coupon code TORTURE19.
From the oils and balms to the growth kits and shampoos, we love us some Beard Struggle. And saving money with our code TORTURE19.
Well, now the Beard Struggle has a private VIP membership, the Viking Elite Black Card. It's composed of a community of beardsmen with access to exclusive deals, priority shipping, pricing, and perks with their premier partners.
You'll get year-round access to all special reserve and black collection scents, and get to take part in the decision-making, casting your vote for the scents they revive and join exclusive beta product testing to shape their upcoming launches.
Stand apart with their exclusive black card apparel and merchandise. Attend exclusive events and meetups around the globe.
Custom NFC functionality allows you to easily refer customers and earn commissions with a tap, and you could win monthly cash and product giveaways.
Extended money back guarantee, free shipping insurance, and priority customer service with a dedicated line ensuring quicker response times and priority assistance.
Not to mention getting unmatched discounts on their partner brands.
Yeah, partners like Warg Fitness, Armorillo Coffee Beans,
Heathen Motors, Leviath Apparel,
Stonecott Fine Writing Supplies, Alehorn, Motor City Axe,
Bearded Geek Crafts, Black Island Leather, and more.
Sign up for 1 month, 3 months, or a 1 year subscription. Cancel anytime.
But be quick, because only 1,000 worthy individuals will be able to get a card at a time.
Beardstruggle.com. Do what's right for your beard. Do what's right for your face.
Sort your fucking beard out.
The subject of today's episode is a variety of devices that focuses solely, wink wink, on one of the most sensitive parts of the human body. From possibly ancient India to China, from the end of the Knights Templar to the Spanish Inquisition, and a short stop off with pre-colonial Native Americans, we'll trek around the medieval world and find assassins, priests, archbishops, and even an Irish martyr become victims of this sinister form of torment. Consisting of anything from boards and wedges to leather and fire, these devices would crush bone, destroy skin, and mutilate the flesh. And whether you call it the Scarpines, Shin Crusher, Jai Gun, the Spanish Boot, K Quinn, Foot Screw, Brodequin, or about a dozen other names, these devices are some of the most painful and life-altering that humans have ever created. Today, we give you the Boot! I'm Dan Horgan.
And I'm Daximus Decemberdius Hergan again, I guess.
And this is torture.
And this is torture. I like the way Sam asked a question of it last week. That this is torture?
And this is torture? Like, it might be. You never know.
I don't know. Yep. See how the next...
Big shout out to Sam. Had a good time with him.
Sam's good people.
Had a good time with him. He gave it to you a couple times, the whole Irish thing. Yeah, it was nice. Enjoyed it.
His people gave it to us for quite a long enough time already, so...
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty stereotypical.
Yeah,
he was just living up to expectations.
Well, that's it.
Oh, fuck. Well, bud, how you been?
I'm good. I'm good. Suffering the old COVID, as you said before.
Yeah, again.
Yeah.
But, Any idea where you got it from this time?
No. People at work are blaming me, saying it was me, and I'm like, no. There were other people out before me, so fuck y'all.
We're all sick. It was Dan.
Pretty much, yeah. But God only knows that we have a sneaking suspicion that one of us brought it in. Alison got it as a result of that, who then passed it back on to one of us before we realized what was happening, kind of thing, because like her immune system's so low. But
right, yeah.
Yeah. So hit her like a train for a few days.
Yeah, I would imagine.
So, apologies in advance to anyone if I had to run off and grab more tissue or start coughing or spluttering or try and mute my microphone. But for the most part, getting by okay today. You know, so tomorrow should be
good. Better.
Yeah, hopefully.
Better each day.
Yeah. How are you?
I'm Mr. All right.
Dan Harrigan. Allegedly.
I don't have COVID. So I'm good. Just getting, you know, doing the whole thing, getting up every afternoon, going to work and all that bullshit.
Working 9 to 5.
I'm glad I don't work 9 to 5. You know, I'd much rather work nights than days. Too many assholes up during the day. I feel like when good people come out at night.
I like the joy of working from home most of the time, but, yeah, I remember when I worked nights. I worked in a clothing store, did nights for whenever Christmas came around and a few other bits and bobs like that, you know.
Yeah.
Oh, it was good. I loved it. I thought it was fantastic.
Yeah.
So, you get used to it very quickly.
Yeah, but man, there's some downsides, like trying to sleep all day and all that shit. It can get fucking rough sometimes. Just a lot of days I go without a whole lot of sleep. But yeah, for all of my night owls out there working nights, listening to this during the night shift, I feel you. I'm there with you.
This is your nighttime drive hour, brought to you by Kevin. And you're all the sexy tunes.
Well, Dan, what do you know about the boot?
I know about two boots, the German boot. I know about three boots, the German boot, the British boot, and then there's about technically a shoey in Australia, so I doubt it's any of those things.
We found out last week there's also goats licking the skin off of your feet. there. Baphomet wouldn't do that. Baphomet is good.
Your Lord and Savior Cthulhu probably would, though.
Have you seen all the little memes of, like, Cthulhu coming out of the water? I mean, like, I'm going to destroy the world. And then there's a cat sitting there being like, listen, if you do that, I don't get pets. So down you go. And Cthulhu's like, I can go to sleep for another 5 million years or so.
Yeah. I wouldn't see my cats doing that anyway.
Well, and let's take you back to the mid-1600s in Edinburgh, Scotland, specifically July 9th, 1668. You were a man by the name of James Mitchell. Now, let me preface before we really get into it that we're recording a little later than normal, And yes, one of the reasons is because I procrastinate. That's just the way it is. But another reason is every time I found information on this fucking thing, I would then turn around and find conflicting information on this fucking thing. And it gets really annoying. I like the infographics show on YouTube.
That's really good.
A great source of material. Mm-hmm. They're very well done educational videos. They're very engaging.
Quick to the point.
So some of the stuff that's in here. Some of the stuff that's in here. I pulled from there, and then when I went there, you go and you look at their sources and you read it up for yourself to see, you know, find the whole story. And then you turn around and you find another story that contradicts that one. And it's like, I just want somebody to tell me.
So they're like Taylor Swift please. Album reviews. Yeah. Everybody says they're great. Please. Then you go listen to them and you realize they're full of shit.
There you go. I just want somebody to tell me, like, so there's quite a bit of conflicting information. It took me a while to like, okay, what do I need to put in here? And you'll see more of that. Like, there's a pretty glaring error at the very end of, you know, this episode. There's going to be a little bit of a conflict of information. So I just wanted to get that out there. Anyway, Dan, you are a man by the name of James Mitchell, and you have decided to assassinate Archbishop James Sharp.
Okay.
You saw as many
that tracks.
Yeah. Sounds like something.
Fuck
I would
you,
do.
Sharp, you wee bastard.
You saw as many did, the Archbishop was the prime cause of trouble in Scotland. Many thought this. He wasn't a very popular guy because of his spearheading the movement of Episcopalianism or governance by bishop over Presbyterianism, rule by elders nominated by their congregation. He also had a bunch of clergy that refused to renounce the national covenant, evicted from northern Scotland, and he condemned the death. And he condemned to death 11 prisoners who surrendered on a promise of mercy, telling them, quote, "You are pardoned as soldiers, but you are not acquitted as subjects." So, it's like, gotcha in technicality. Fuck off. Anyways. You don't like this guy. He needs to die. So, on July 9th, you track down the Archbishop, who happened to be in his coach on the Royal Mile, and once within distance, you fire a pistol into the coach. Now, unfortunately, you only graze his hand and hit his friend, Bishop Andrew Honeyman, in the arm. You turn and run, escaping. You stay on the lam for the next 6 years. That is, until Sir William Sharp, James's brother, recognizes you in the street in early 1674. You are arrested and taken to Bass Rock. Don't worry, though.
Would I not wear, like, a disguise, like the glasses with the nose and the mustache or something, at least to disguise myself? Like, it's like, oh, I'm going to run away after trying to kill the Archbishop. Will I change my appearance at all? No.
Well, I mean, after get 6 years, you get lazy.
Walking out of a chip shop with my mushy peas. That's what the Scottish like. They like their mushy peas.
Well, I think everybody in the UK is big on mushy peas, aren't they? Yeah, I don't get it. But
do you have a specific thing over there, which is almost... I'll have to look it up and show it to you. It's fucking disgusting. It's a particular thing of food. That's like... I'll look it up anyway, and I'll tell you in a minute. Continue with your story, please. Okay.
But anyway... Don't worry too much because James Sharp does end up getting assassinated because, again, he was not very liked and a lot of people blamed him for some of the shit that was going on in Scotland. So he dies anyway, but it just, you know, you weren't successful. Now, you are arrested and taken to Bass Rock, an island in the outer part of the Firth of Forth in the east of Scotland that had on it a prison, also known as Scottish Alcatraz. You are told that if you confess to the attempted assassination, that no harm will come to you. So when you are taken in front of the council on February 12th, you make a full confession. The High Court of Judiciary then sentences you to have your right hand cut off. You decide to retract your confession and plead not guilty. Like, no harm will come to you if you confess. All right, I do it. Cut off his hand. You know what? Fuck you. I didn't do it. Well, if that's the way you're going to be about it, well, I don't know what to tell you. Actually be like, oh, I don't know what to tell you. Now, since your original confession was really the only proof they had of your involvement in the assassination attempt, they decide to use your participation in the Petlin Rising, a very brief revolt against the Scottish government, to hold you and see if they could get, if they couldn't get that confession after all. You are taken to their torture dungeon or wherever they did this type of thing. It was not very specific about where they did this. Or
don't threaten me with a good time. He walks in the door like, who are you? Death by
Do you
Zuzu.
Have certain plugs and beads?
Yeah. I got you a new necklace. It's from Anal.
And they throw you in a chair. Then they strap three pieces of wood around the sides of both calves and ankles. Then the executioner would take a series of wooden wedges, place them between the planks of wood and your legs, take a large mallet, and start hammering the wedges in further and further. With every blow from the mallet, the wedges would more and more smash and crush the muscles and bones, leaving your legs and ankles pretty much useless. This was the torture of the boot.
Nice. Like, so again, things weren't exactly wheelchair accessible back then, so.
Yeah. No. You usually just put yourself in a
disabled parking
for
your horse.
I was tortured back in the aught-19s, and I demand that you have a place for me to park my car. James was asked upward of 30 questions before the actual torture began. Like if he was James Mitchell, if he knew of any other James Mitchells in the area, and there were actually two others, apparently. Shit like that.
Just imagine him shouting random little questions at him, like, when? Who? Where?
Who that's you betrayed. Work for?
Who does number two work for?
Is he a bitch? Does he look like a bitch? Say what again, hammer blow. Say what again, hammer blow. Now, after every blow of the mallet, he would be asked if he had anything else to say, and he obviously said no. He withstood 9 blows from the mallet before he passed out, and they stopped.
And all he had to do was say his safe word, avocado. He would have just saved all that hassle.
Avocado! Wow. Armageddon!
Armageddon, yeah.
He begged for them to stop, but never incriminated himself in the assassination attempt. So, I mean, good on him for not giving in, I suppose. You know you're going to die. I mean, you know they're probably going to just find you guilty and kill you anyway. So he might as well.
Was it him then, though, if there was like three other fucking Phil Mitchells
in the
area?
There's a whole bunch of other James Mitchells. Like, this is my brother James Mitchell. This is my other brother James Mitchell. My cousin James Mitchell.
James Mitchell, yeah. Just Jimmy Mitchell.
Call him Bob.
You know Mitchell.
What? Now, James's story doesn't end there. He would be tortured in various ways, including the Scottish boot, as it was known, several times over the next couple years. In December of 1677, there was finally an actual trial. And you
just sit there playing bagpipes for him for an hour.
If you can eat this haggis in 5 minutes, you are innocent. Of course, James lost and was sentenced to death by hanging a year later. So, you know, we'll just brush over that part of it. Now, there are several different variations of the boot throughout the world and throughout time. It's another reason it took me a little bit of to get this one down is like, because when I first heard of the boot a few years ago, I thought this was the only kind of boot, but it's not. And we're going to cover a couple of different things that I actually had set up for their own episodes. And I was like, just throw them in here. Fuck it.
And not all of them were. We got the strappy ones. We got the Velcro-y boots.
Steel-toed. Which most of these are going to be steel-toed. But the whole thing's steel. Not all of them were used for extreme pain. Take the shoe. It looked more like if Santa's elves were into BDSM play. It was essentially a metal shoe with a bell attached to the top.
For attracting
once
cats.
Once the shoe was placed on the foot, the heel of the shoe would be screwed in tight so the wearer couldn't take it off. Then they would be made to walk around the town, bell jingling all the way for the public to see.
Shame! Shame! Shame!
Shame, and then you just jingle your foot. Shame. Tingle-ling-a-ling-a-ling. Is it Christmas time already, Papa? Oh.
Of course, Christmas. No, child, that's the local rapist he's been. Sent him the walk of shame. Don't go near him. What's the ice cream truck?
It's just the local rapist. Jingling his shoes. All the children come running. Ta-da-la, tra-da-la. Of course, if pain was the object, this could be done easily because at the toe of these shoes set a row of spikes. And when the heel portion was screwed tight enough, it would cram the toes into the spikes, impaling them. Continue to tighten the screw and the bones crack and break. Eventually, the bones of the instep would give way as the arch of the foot virtually breaks in half as the metatarsals flex, then snap.
And then this ironically became the inspiration for the boot, the medical boot that you wear to repair such damage. That'd be pretty fucking funny if that was the case.
It'd be funny. If that was true. If that was true.
It was like cranking, next thing it breaks, he goes, hey, I got an idea. Uncranks it a little bit. Funny. And then bit padding. It's like, there you go. You're going to be fine. Trust me, I'm a doctor.
Don't worry. I'm a doctor. Yeah. I know what I'm doing.
See the spikes. Like, well, there's a problem.
There was the foot press. Instead of two boards sitting vertically on the legs, this would consist of two iron plates, one below the foot and the other on top. And they would be squeezed against the foot with the help of a crank mechanism. Sometimes a variant of this, found mostly in Nuremberg, Germany, would have the upper plate lined with spikes, including a large spike positioned over the big toe, which would puncture the nail as it was cranked shut. They also had what was called a toe breaker, which placed a bar over the toes of both feet at once and would smash all 10 phalanges at the same time. And this goes back into my phobia of getting my toes whacked with a ball peen hammer.
Yeah.
It's not. This is my Ling Chi, Dan. Or the whole time I'm reading it, I'm going, I don't like it.
Nah, thanks. It sounds pretty bad because of how simple it is, how direct it is. It's not overcomplicated. It's a big fuck off lump of steel with sometimes the spikes in it that tend to break your foot. And you know, back in the 1600s, so having like broken feet and shit is like, may as well be a death sentence at that stage. I mean, you weren't going to be healing from that ever properly. You couldn't ever
properly perform manual labor thereafter. You know, like you definitely can't be a shoe salesman anymore. You know, like
gangrene, and then you have to get your the whole bottom part of your leg cut off because it's all black from the infection.
You used to get a bitch in old school crutches. They used to have the big sticks.
Yeah, it's just a stick.
Yeah. With another stick yourself kind of on leg. Top of it. Yeah.
Yeah.
That'd be pretty cool.
Turn to a pirate.
Speaking of peg legs, go off topic for a quick second. I was watching this thing to a good old Fender guitars, right? And they're doing a factory tour thing. And they're talking to one of the guys where they be shaping the necks and stuff like this. And they're saying that there was one of the neck profiles they had from back in like the 50s or 60s or whatever that they were unable to replicate. They're able to do all the profiles. There's one particular one they couldn't do, and they couldn't figure out what it was for the longest time until they found out then that one of the guys who was in charge of shaping the necks had a wooden leg. So when he shifted his weight over to that side, it changed the angle the slightest bit. So when he was carving down the neck, it ended up causing having a higher grade of carve on that side. Where I just thought it was really fucking funny. I was like, that's fucking brilliant. fucking so you should bring it back and call it the pirate carve.
I was watching some of those videos about like people write into radio shows and shit and tell what the worst nicknames they gave people was. And one guy had one fake leg. Was one leg was shorter than the other or something like that. And I think because you said the peg leg and they leaned over and when they walked, they wobbled and they called them the sniper's worst nightmare.
It'd be kind of like, do you ever walk with one foot on the curb and one foot not, or even with one shoe on? One shoe on. That's what it'd be like.
Oh, fuck. And there was a version of the foot press that was found in Venice. Had an instep borer, a type of drill bit that was connected to the cranking mechanism that would slowly bore into the center of the instep as the foot press was tightened. Dan, for why those of you who not watching YouTube, just listening, Dan sitting there shaking his head.
Yeah, no. Like what the fuck? Like seriously, like why do you think that? You know, it'd be really cool if we added this. Put this drill bit in there. That'd be fun.
You know, it's just one of those douches. Is like, look what I created. This it just crushes the foot, and they'll tell us whatever we want to know. And they're like, what if we add this?
Yeah.
You know, I wasn't looking for suggestions, Tom. I just wanted to build this thing. You know, Steve Cooper would never try to give me suggestions on my foot snatcher.
Steve Cooper, what a guy.
Now, then there was the boot that mostly resembled a, well, boot. There are two types. One made of riveted iron. It was placed on your foot and then filled with water or oil. Your booted foot was then placed over a fire until the liquid inside began to boil. This was also called foot roasting. And some sources, not many, say that Jacques de Molay, the last Grand Master of the Knights Templar, endured this torture and many others, for about 6 years before being burned at the stake in early 14th century. Fun fact, Jacques de Molay was arrested on Friday, October 13th. The best day.
Ooh.
Yeah.
See, lucky for some, not for him.
Yep.
Well, that's what you get for being a leader of a bunch of dickheads.
Yeah, they had him like confessing about stepping on the cross and blasphemy and renouncing Christ and all this shit. I was like, whatever. Now, the other type of boot that actually resembled a boot was made of leather. While that doesn't seem too bad at first, wait until you hear the story of Ireland's own Dermot O'Hurley. Dan,
oh, yeah.
Do you know of Dermot O'Hurley?
Sure. Don't I know his sister well? She only lives down the road from here, about 6 miles down there. It's the nearest house to here. It's where we get our turf from. And she's right down next to the shop where I buy my potatoes.
I just assume anytime I see anything that says Ireland that you know who the person is.
Yeah.
You either know them personally or you know their history. It's like, Dan will know this person. That...
Yeah. Sure. He was known for being really good at drawing a pint of Guinness. So he was.
It reminds me, I used to work with a guy from Zambia. His name was Samson. Great guy. Love Samson to death. Great guy. But he's directly for, he came over with like a singing choir group. It's really a wild story. I'll have to talk to you about it at some other time. But this missionary goes over to Zambia, sees this choir group, brings them over here, and then he pretty much like locks them in a trailer and keeps them as slaves for a couple of years. Okay. He'd like take them and have them sing at churches and shit, and then he'd take them back, lock them back up in the trailer, and made them do like labor around his house. It's a crazy fucking story. But the way this connects to what we're talking about is after that guy got arrested and they all were, you know, set free, he started working construction for a guy in the local area, and they were real good friends. This guy, his name's Roger, goes down to like Universal Studios or something down in Florida, and they're taking a tour of the place. And the tour guide had an accent. And he goes, "Where's your accent?" And he goes, "Oh, I'm from Zambia." And he goes, "Do you know Samson?" Just fucking kills me every time I hear that story. You know Samson? Like, Zambia's a pretty big place.
Yeah.
Oh, fuck. I'm sorry. I had to tell a story.
That's all good. I've heard many things like that. Though, so like, it's like, oh, yeah, my cousin's from Mayo. You might know them. It's like, no.
No.
I don't. Sorry.
You know. I just assume.
Yeah, but I ended up having actually one really weird random thing that happened before where I ended up, it's really, how small this country can actually be, right, which is really fucking weird. So,
yeah,
years ago, back when I was like in bike club and stuff like that, when I had friends come over, one of my best friends, Andres, over in Holland, and he came over and visited, and we had this bit of a party anyway, and he met this girl who was from Mayo, who we knew through another friend of mine, blah, 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 right? They hit it off, sure. They got together. Eventually, she ended up moving over there. They're living together now years. So I moved. That same weekend, I was only after moving to your side of the country, to Galway. I got to know a guy through my job. This other guy is also called Daniel. And I was looking to set up a band at the time. He goes, "Hey, I know this guy. Hook you up, you know, he's a drummer, blah, blah, blah." I said, "Yeah, cool." So I met up with this guy anyway, got along like house on fire. Really lovely guy. I ended up meeting his brother. His brother's one of the nicest guys in the fucking planet. And his brother's partner is practically best friends with Andre's now partner. The girl he met randomly.
Like, you know, so how the fuck we don't all know each other. Actually, I do know that.
Yeah. It was just pure fucking chance. You know, like, it's just,
yeah.
How does that shit happen? Yeah. But anyway.
I mean, it's a small world.
It yeah.
It really is. Yeah. Well, born sometime in probably 1530. Again, birth dates back. You usually knew your death date more than you knew your birth date. So. Probably sometime in 1530. In Earldom of Desmond, as a member of the local Gaelic nobility of Ireland, he would be educated in everything Catholic, eventually becoming a teacher at the University of Raheem. during the Counter-Reformation or the Catholic Revival? Or is it, no, it's Reims, I'm sorry, the University of Reims.
Oh, France. Now,
eventually,
yeah.
It's a French thing. Hmm. It's a French play. It's a French university. I apologize. Everything being... Eventually, he was appointed by Pope Gregory the 13th as Archbishop of Cashel during the Tudor conquest of Ireland. The Tudor in charge at this time? Elizabeth. And if we remember from our Rack episode, Elizabeth was not a fan of the Catholics.
We'll talk about Elizabeth's Rack for a while, people. Buckle up.
Who's the leader today? Elizabeth? Oh, does she like Catholics? No. Get off the rack.
Yeah.
Somebody else got to go on. So when Dermot decides to go back to Ireland, he had to do it in secret, and after ministering to other Catholics underground in the Pale, or the section of Ireland that was under direct control of the English government.
That's pretty much Dublin. That's the Pale.
Yeah, the whole of Dublin.
Well, it does say an awful lot of people view, like, if you're a Google map of the Pale, it's still known as the Pale, and it's basically...
Oh, is it?
Dublin. Yeah. It's.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, well. But yeah, just... Yeah, if you're from outside the Pale, then typically dubs don't care about you. So it's anything. It's within the Pale is
outside, okay. The outside the Pale is
culties and stuff like that, like as we call them, like people from like rednecks, like our equivalent of redneck is culty.
Oh,
so yeah.
Degens.
Yeah, so but I live outside the Pale, so I can't really say anything.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Now you know. So he, much like Nicholas Owens, will, what he'll do a few years later, go listen to our Rack episode. Now, Dermot voluntarily gave himself up in order to save one of those protecting him, the Baron of Slane, Thomas Fleming, who had taken the Archbishop into his castle. Now, O'Hurley was arrested and taken to Dublin, the chief city of the kingdom, and was, quote, kept many days in chains in a dark, dismal, and fetid prison. He was taken in front of the chancellors.
That's what it was. What a shithole.
This is a dive bar. Yeah. Sit down.
It's like €10 a pint or something. It's not even a dive. It's a tourist trap pub where they charge disgusting amount of money for drink.
Yeah, they have people stereotypically dressed up in like green with shamrocks.
That wouldn't surprise me. Yeah.
Doing dances, the shillelaghs and all that. Yeah.
Fucking hate that place. Anyway.
He was taken in front of the chancellor and the treasurer and was, quote, civilly and kindly invited to follow the tenets of the heretics and promised large rewards on condition of abjuring his sacred character, relinquishing the office received from the Pope. He refused, stating that he was, quote, bound and resolved never to desert the church, faith, or vicar of Christ, Jesus, for any consideration. This went about as well as you would expect. The chancellor and treasurer tried once more to convince him that their way was the best and he should give up his Catholic ways. He still refused, and they exclaimed, quote, if we cannot convince you by argument, we will make you quit this your false law and embrace our religion or feel our power. It's a very 80s villain movie thing to say.
Feel yeah, it's like, power. The, I was going to say, it's like the near the end of Masters of the Universe. Skeletor.
Yeah. But, I mean... They're British, so it fits. So March 7th, 1584, he was thrown to the ground and his feet and legs were encased in leather boots, also known as top boots, which extended all the way up past the knee. The boots were then filled with salt, bitumen, which was a type of asphalt or mineral pitch, either occurring naturally or found as a byproduct of burning coal or wood. It was a black, sticky substance used as an adhesive or a caulk, and could also be used for waterproofing. So there you go. It's almost like a tar, almost, kind of made from organic material. Also, oil, tallow, and boiling water. Then his booted legs were placed on iron bars and put above a fire. Now, two things begin to happen. First, the outside of the boots will dry out from the heat of the fire. And if you don't know what happens to leather when it dries out, think bacon.
Yeah.
It shrinks and hardens quite a lot. So there would begin to be a lot of pressure on the feet and legs. Second, the contents inside the boot would begin to heat up and boil. And if you remember from our boiling episode, the human body doesn't react well with boiling liquid. There are... Nope. There are parts of the story that are very hard to believe. But this is what was said happened. They left his legs over the fire for no less than one full hour. And in that hour, the pitch, oil, tallow, and whatnot, not only burned off the skin from his legs and feet, but also melted away the flesh, destroying the muscles, ligaments, tendons, veins, and arteries. So when the boots were pulled off, they took all of that meat with them, leaving only bones behind. I just keep getting this image in my head of just leg bone.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. I think I've seen it in like a movie or a TV show or something where there's somebody having their boot taken off, and like I think it was like a Saving Private Ryan or something like that, where they're taking off a boot and all the shit's coming off with it.
Everything comes off with it.
Yeah. I'm trying to think now, or something like that. Anyway.
I
don't
know. I can believe to an extent that happened. To an extent. Without him dying.
You'd pass out.
But the truly unbelievable part is that not only did he survive this ordeal.
Jumped up and gave a roundhouse kick. And it turned out it was Patrick Swayze the whole time. You know, and he's like, nobody
he broke the bottom part
corner.
Of his leg off. Yeah. Started picking the bones off his foot, chucking them at people, taking them out.
Yeah. Roundhouse. Every time he kicks them. Roadhouse.
Quote, having his mind filled with thoughts of God and holy things, he never uttered a word, but held out to the end of the torture with the same cheerfulness and serenity and countenance he had exhibited at the commencement of his suffering, as if, flying the heat of the summer sun, he were lying in a dainty bed upon a soft pillow beneath an overshadowing tree with spreading leafy branches and beside a rivulet humming with gentle murmur through fragrant lilies, quietly refreshing himself after hard work and the weariness of long vigils. Bullshit.
Ask people.
It's like, this is quite nice, actually. Wouldn't mind another. Do my arm next. No. I get the whole, the Irish are tough and can endure pain and hardship. No offense, Dan, but bullshit. Ain't nobody going through this shit and just being like,
I've gone through it twice this week already as part of my beauty regimen.
So I'm going through it right now.
Yeah. Joke's on you, motherfucker.
He might not have said anything because he was probably passed out and went into shock, I would imagine.
Yeah. filled him the fuck up with opium.
Yeah. He's eating mushrooms. Eat these mushrooms.
Wow, my leg.
Ooh. It feels like goldfish tickling my toes.
Why do my shoes hurt?
They pull off the boots and they let him look at him. He's like, those are some amazing socks. I like those socks. They're pretty socks. I'm going to get up now.
I like rusty
socks. He never converted to Protestantism, though. So, or gave up anyone that had helped him along the way. So good on him for that.
Fair play to you, old Dermot. Whatever the fucking name was. I can't remember it now.
Granted, we've said this many times before.
That
if we were presented with that same, we would give up everybody we knew. But
you know. Y'all fucked. Seriously. Well, Sam.
Who did they
Sam first.
So, you have a conspiracy something going on, and people are like, who did they arrest? Please tell me it wasn't Dan. Who did they arrest? Yeah. It was Dan. We're fucked! Yeah.
Even Phil be getting his ass dragged in.
Oh, fuck. I'd be giving up my fifth grade teachers. I'd be everybody I ever met in a store. It wouldn't matter. It's like, this is not happening to me. I am your informant.
Yeah, well, that's it. If I'm going down, every single one of y'all motherfuckers are going down with me.
Goddamn right.
As soon as I see that big
stitches
stick.
Get stitches, but I'm not having the fucking meat taken off my legs. Now, he was taken back to his prison cell and given medical treatment so the torturer wouldn't be guilty of killing an archbishop without written orders from the queen. After he was able to move around a little on his own, probably not walking, he had a speedy trial and was then hanged before sunup on April 28th, 1584. Now, along with England, Germany, Ireland, and Venice, there were other countries that had similar devices. In fact, some claim that the popularity of the boot started with the French version known as the brodequin.
You say
the most
boot.
Famous use of which, what'd you say?
He said it known as la boot.
La boot.
La royale with cheese.
The most famous use of which was used on priest Urbain Grandier. Another fun fact, and I don't know if you even know this, Dan, but the story of Urbain Grandier and his torture with the brodequin, amongst other horrors that will await him, was the original inspiration for this podcast.
Yeah, I knew that
story,
yeah.
And I thought, did I tell you? I knew I told you that there was. I heard a story that maybe, but I didn't know if it was this one or not. I told you. Heard story, thought, man, I would love to know more about what those devices and methods were that they used, and here we are.
Yeah. Now we've gone full
world
circle.
Famous.
The end of the podcast, everybody. Kevin's fucked it up now.
Gave away the money shot. Sorry. Yeah. Anyways, I'm not going to get too deep into Grandier's story because I plan on doing an entire episode on this. Because it's fucking wild. It's got priests, nuns, and the devil, and possession, sex, and torture, death, betrayal, conspiracy, witchcraft. It's a crazy fucking
sounds
story.
Sounds like Taver's Game of Durgans and Durgans. Less Funyuns.
I know other podcasts have covered it, and and so a lot of you might have heard it other places, but I don't know if Dan has ever heard the full story.
Well,
and one of the reasons I do a lot of stories
podcasts.
I do is because I specifically want to tell Dan the story to see how he feels about it. So, whatever. So we will do an Urbain Grandier episode somewhere down the line. And it's amazing. So I'll just hit the cliff notes real quick. So in 1632 in Loudun, France, Grandier was a charismatic and controversial French Catholic priest. He was known for his outspoken and critical views on the church and local authorities, and he liked to fuck women, like, a lot. The troubles for Grandier began when a group of nuns from the Ursuline convent in Loudun accused him of witchcraft, claiming that he had bewitched them. Now, these accusations came at a time when Europe was rife with paranoia about witchcraft and demonic possession, and Grandier's enemies, including local officials and rival clergy, used these accusations to their advantage. That is a phrase that I guess I don't understand nowadays. Rival clergy. It's like, you know, that priest down the street with his church. Fuck that guy.
they're like street gangs all hanging around. You know, they bust into dance sequences and
sing-offs and stuff like that in the middle of the streets about Jesus. You know, you see them all just walking in the street like this. And then you knew something was going to kick off because you saw the guy in the robes clicking his fingers as he walked. You're like, that's
uh-oh, the bishops are at it again.
Get back, get back. Everybody makes room. And they can't come running in, you know. Stuff like that.
It's another dance-off between the bishops and the friars. Everybody, take cover. What, are they going to use magic? Or is there like wizards? Or what are they doing? It's like, you know that guy who worships the same deity I do? Fuck that guy.
Yeah. Let's fuck his shit up.
Fuck that guy. It's like when two dogs are barking at each other from a car. Hey, dog, in the other car. Hey, you. Fuck you.
that younger man shouting at the guy across the island. Like, hey, what's your name? Tony. Hey, Tony. Fuck you.
Fuck you. You better not say you fucked my mother. Oh, I made her a nice fire. Oh, okay. And I fucked her next to it. Oh, fuck. Now, he was arrested on December 7th, 1633, and after months in prison was found guilty of witchcraft and was sentenced to death, but not before he was maliciously tortured. Now, the Brodequin was much like the Spanish boot we had talked about at the beginning of the episode. Slight differences. There were only two boards per leg that covered the entirety of the bottom leg. So Grandier was sat in a chair, and pieces of wood were strapped to his legs. Then the executioner brought in 8 thick wooden wedges and began hammering them in between the wooden planks and Urbain's legs. Now, this would have been a most gruesome sight. It is said that once the executioner hammered in the 7th wedge, Urbain's legs burst open with blood and bone marrow, spraying the face of the executioner. Whack! Oh, yeah, there it is. Oh, there it is. Did you get that on camera? Did you get a nice close-up shot of it? That's the money shot. That's the one they all pay to see. And with the 8th and final wedge, it said that his legs were, quote, as flat as the boards they were tied to. He was then burned alive in front of the whole town. Again, there is a lot more to that story. He endured a lot more pain and torture.
Fucking bashing these fucking wedges, and eventually, as soon as legs are done, I say, right, cool, fuck you, throw a match in them, walk out. You know.
So when did all this begin? Well, it's hard to say. Like I mentioned before, many thought it may have started with the French, and the specific styles of leg and foot crushers may have indeed started somewhere in Europe. Boards and wedges becoming more famous during the Spanish Inquisition, hence the more popular name, the Spanish boot. The iron or leather boots filled with liquids and set to the flame probably started off even earlier than that. Humans have been using fire to torment one another for eons. But it's also possible that it may have started even earlier than the Inquisition or the foot roasting of the fall of the Knights Templar. In the early 1300s, in where else
Japan.
But go a little to the west.
China.
China.
Yeah. Had to be one of the Asian
China's
countries.
China's
variant. Everything I've learned
it's one of those
so far
over there.
Is that fucking back then, and even not even too far back then, people in over in Asian countries tend to be fucking cray-cray with an awful lot of the shit that they come up with. Like...
Yeah.
They've come up with some serious fucked up shit. And that's just fucked up shit that's just taken as normal shit where they are. So.
Because it's, remember, it's exotic and foreign and dangerous.
Oh, that's true. Yeah.
That's true. We have a few episodes based on some of the stuff that happened in Asia this as part of time. And even in the 20th century, I would go check out our back catalog. And if it has a name in it that seems maybe, you know, I don't want to say, but yeah, go look through our back catalog. There's some scary stuff.
Yeah.
Now, China's variation was called the Zhegun or the Qiquin, depending on where you were from. If you were doing the romanticized English translation, if you're doing the Mandarin or the Cantonese translation, yeah, it's a whole thing. And it's comprised of three rods of bamboo placed around the person's ankle, held together with a rope. When it was time for the actual torture, the rope is pulled on, tightening the bamboo to the point where the foot could actually be dislocated from the leg. Just give this a little pop, and there you go. Now it just wiggles around. You can do whatever you want with it. And you are out of work for the next 6 weeks. This was done mostly to procure a confession, because apparently a person in China could only be found guilty of a crime if they confessed. And we know this because Europeans love to go to the exotic East and write books about all their strange ways.
Don't pull about Johnny Tightlips on it. Like, I ain't saying nothing. It's like, but we saw you literally murder that woman. I ain't saying nothing. Damn it. We won't get to close this case anytime soon.
Now, even though when the most... one of the most famous publications, History of the Great and Mighty Kingdom of China and the Situation Thereof, was written in Spain in 1585.
That's a mouthful.
European countries had been subjecting victims to the Spanish boot for decades, if not a century or more at that time. So this whole, oh, well, look at this horrible thing that the Asians are doing. Well, I mean, you're doing the same fucking thing.
Yeah. Oh, they're doing it in the name of God, though, over in Europe. You see, that's the difference. You know, they're doing it.
Yeah, those heathen Chinese are doing it in the name of justice.
Yeah. Yeah, well, they're just doing it just for the crack. Whereas, you know, over in Europe, they're doing it just for the crack, but in the name of God, you know, as an excuse.
They're doing it because this person committed a crime and he needs to be punished. We're doing it because our imaginary friend told us to.
Yep.
He spoke to me in a dream. Now, there was a report written to the British Parliament in 1856 called Torture in Madras, quote, from the report of the Manchester Foreign Affairs Association, which calls out torture in India by British government officials. Sure, I bet that happened.
Indians never do anything like that.
Foot torture, amongst other horrific things, like people being tormented with biting and stinging insects. Now, here's where it gets a little murky. The process of kiti, which was said to be used in ancient India, the boot consisted of a little more than two boards lashed to either side of the victim's foot, after which ropes were twisted around it so tight that the ankle bone and eventually the entire foot was crushed. But there was supposedly also a form of crushing torture used by Native Americans before the colonization of the English that would be used on people that also went by the name of Kiti. So maybe, just maybe, sometimes history can be confused. As I looked it up, I was like, okay, I need to look up more on this Kiti, because apparently it happened in ancient India, and every time a definition would pull up, it would be a process used by the Native Americans to crush people. So I was like, okay, so those are two different kind of Indians. They're not the same thing. So what is, and I don't have any more information about it than that, because I couldn't find any more other information about it than
that's that. Because of a mass genocide, you see. That's probably why.
Probably. Didn't help any.
No.
I didn't forget this time, Dan, any pop culture. His eyes get big. Like,
no. Funny enough, no, I did actually look up... I couldn't say anything to do with this like fucking boot shit in movies and stuff. And that's just something I missed. But I did genuinely in the background while we were going through have a look around, and I couldn't see anything that was that actually stood out that I could actually find. But, you know, the chances are there probably is something sitting around there somewhere.
I'm telling this whole thing, and Dan's just like, I better do the part that I'm told to do here right now. I'll just get to it in the last second.
Yeah. Yeah. Sometimes I do that. Yeah, doing the background.
Every once in a while, maybe.
Yep.
Yeah. Every time. Time.
I did look up that food I was thinking of, and I have to apologize to every single person in Scotland because it wasn't a Scottish thing. It was in Wigan, which is in England, which is even worse. But it's known as the Wigan Pie Barm, which is a potato pie served in a burger bun, usually with mushy peas and gravy on top, which is one of the most disgusting things I've ever seen in my fucking... Because... That's the only answer. I really would like to know why, but at the same time, I kind of don't want to know why. You know, like a delicacy in Scotland, that I was like a deep fried Mars bar is a big thing over there.
Ooh, that sounds pretty good. We do deep fried Snickers over here, and deep fried Oreos, and deep fried pickles.
Yeah, I've seen deep fried Oreos. It sounds a bit weird. I'd like to try a deep fried pickle.
I've never had a deep fried Oreo. I'm not a huge fan of Oreos myself. They're all right. I go for the golden Oreos more than I go for regular Oreos. I've had a deep fried Snickers.
Oh, sorry. I thought you finished your sentence. I think there's a time lag. I think there's a little tiny time lag there for me because it sounds like there was nothing being said for a second. He's like, I've never tried a deep fried Oreo. I'm like, okay.
I've never tried a deep fried Oreo. I'm not a huge fan of Oreos myself. I have tried deep fried Snickers, and they are fucking amazing. They will burn the shit out of your tongue if you eat
caramel,
them.
Man.
Yeah, if you eat them within 5 minutes of them being deep fried, you will take a bite and you will go. But they are fucking delicious. I've also had deep fried pickles, which are also fucking delicious.
Yeah, I gotta try me one of those.
I've had deep fried olives, not as good as deep fried pickles.
I'm not an olive man, so
I love olives. I fucking love them. Nah. But deep fried pickles. There's a bar we used to go to watch the UFC fights, and I don't drink, so I was a designated driver. So my buddies would pay for my food, and the bar would give me like root beer or whatever for free for being the designated driver. So I'd eat and drink for free, and I always got the deep fried pickles with some ranch. And oh god.
Sounds good to me.
Like the state fair up in Wisconsin was doing deep fried ranch. Yeah, so you take
just fucking pouring sauce instead of fucking fart.
You take a ball of ranch, you pour it in a vessel, and then you freeze it.
Yeah. Okay.
And then when it's good and frozen, you bread it up, throw it in the deep fryer, and then when it comes out, you bite into it. It's breading and ranch, and that's all it is. And that might be the most American thing, the most Midwestern thing I can think of.
Okay.
So I wouldn't try it. I like ranch, but I don't love ranch that much. But I know my wife would probably eat it.
Could you not make some ranch cheese ball thing? I'd say that'd be a bit nicer to have in it than.
Yeah. They also did deep fried butter where they'd freeze up butter.
Seen that, yeah.
Bread it, throw it in. It's like, that just seems like it would be crunchy on the outside and just mush on the inside.
And just butter. Literally just fucking butter on the inside.
Just butter. You can literally watch people get fatter as they're at these state fairs. I love deep fried food as much as the next
rich,
red
creamy
woman in America.
Butter.
I really do, but. There's got to be a fucking limit.
deep fried fryer with Oreos inside the deep fat fryer.
Well, it's just somebody sitting at their house going, I love fried food. What else can I throw in this thing? And then just picking shit off their shelves and tossing it in.
It's like, this baby could deep fry a cow in 40 seconds. 40 seconds? I want it now!
It's like, is that pancake batter? Yeah, what are you going to use it for? I don't know, dip this Oreo in it and then fry it.
Deep fry my gun.
That's it. Then when I'm shooting bitches, I can have a snack. It's like pop, pop. Yum, yum, yum.
Fuck. Thank you to our patrons, Williquin Fowler, Nevin, Sam, and Max. We appreciate all of you. You can get your name shouted out on the pod by going to patreon.com/torturepod and signing up for any one of our tiers. We have four. You can sign up for a free one-week trial of our cult leader tier. Free trials don't get their name shouted out, though, so deal with it. You can also donate to our link tree on our socials, buymeacoffee.com/torturepod and redbubble.com/people/torturepod for all of our merch. Again, all proceeds from any merch sold with the Pride tag in the name are donated to the Trevor Project. Also, if you want to see your design on a piece of torture merch, send us some fan art. You know?
Yeah.
If it's good. Even if it's... So there's two ways to go. It's if it's really good or if it's really fucking bad. it'll make its way onto a t-shirt. One or the other.
Yeah.
No middle of the ground. Either go all out or just give us the worst shit imaginable.
But I like the idea of the really shit ones.
Yeah. What is that t-shirt? Oh, it's from the Torture Podcast. That's horrible. I know, right? Thank you to our sponsors. You can support us by supporting them. Hint for our next episode. If prisoners take hostages, maybe don't just start shooting everyone. Dan, any words of wisdom?
Yeah, if prisoners take hostages, maybe don't start shooting everyone.
I mean, it works. It does work. I can't lie. It's pretty good. Oh, fuck. All right, well.
You left it wide open.
I did. It's my fault. I laid it up for him. He put it right in.
Yeah, and don't
shit. All right, everybody.
Pipe arms. Don't do it, people.
All right. Well, take care of yourselves. Take care of one another. We'll see you.
Bye-bye.
Today's episode is brought to you by podup.com.
Let's be honest, whether you want to admit it or not, you've probably thought at some point to start a podcast. I mean, podcasts are fun. You and I have a good time on here, Dan.
Just get on, talk junk.
Yeah. I mean, it's some dark content. What we're talking about isn't necessarily fun, but we make it fun. We have a good time. And we would have never even met each other if it weren't for podcasts. So,
that's true.
Podcasts and Canadians. Little D&D threw it in there. I mean, change your life.
Well, there are about 5 million podcasts out there, and around 90% of those stop after just 3 episodes. That's including about 1.8 million that stop before they even start, which we know a thing or two about that, though, to be fair.
Yeah. Yeah, we do, unfortunately.
Quite a few still on the drawing room floor.
And of those that do get started and pass that 3-episode mark, about 90% of those don't get past 20 episodes. And there's a reason. Podcasting is hard. Well, successful podcasting is hard.
Yeah, it's not just sitting in front of a microphone and talking for an hour. Though sometimes that's what it is for me. It's recording, audio editing, video editing, social media, promotion, blah, blah, blah. All the stuff that Kevin does.
And I do. And finding and paying for all that software to use can be just as big of a headache. Not to mention, expensive.
Well, with PodUp, you can have a one-stop shop for everything you need to take your podcast to the next level.
35 powerful modules with AI integration and one software, you can create, publish, grow, monetize, and manage your podcast with a simple, easy-to-use interface.
Everything from a site builder and recorder to editing for video and audio, live streams, blogs, and transcriptions.
Legal, newsletters, SEO.
Setting up shops,
getting ads and sponsorships,
managing your workflow, files, and even backing up your content.
Set up an account today and get 14 days free, and even schedule a demo with one of PodUp's podcasting experts to see how to start producing and monetizing your very own podcast.
And when you're ready, use our exclusive coupon code TORTURE15 for 15% off whichever package you decide to go with.
And if you're a professional that's even too busy for that, go to podallies.com.
Yeah, their done-for-you podcast production and marketing service will take care of the dirty work for you.
Dirty. We're talking websites, social media, editing work, SEO, all done for you. So you can just focus on being the star of the show, like me, and getting on with your day, unlike Kevin, who has to do all the work.
That's why everybody comes is for Dan. And this team of experts will use PodUp software to put your podcast on the map where it belongs. See, just they're using PodUp software. It's all one big circle. It's coming all. It's always coming back around.
Like opposite of a square.
That's right. There
you go. So, go to podup.com and podallies.com and use our coupon TORTURE15 for 15% off. That's TORTURE15 for 15% off.
Podup.com, the ultimate podcasting platform.